My name is Michelle Reed. I use she, her pronouns. I started coming to Puente as a young person in high school. And I first got into Puente because as a child of migrant parents, I never felt like I was like, I never felt put in any places besides when I came to a random march. It was Martin Luther King March. They had a person from Puente. They invited me to their general membership meeting. It was a group of youth that wanted to get involved here at Puente. We were just here hanging out while a lot of parents were in these meetings. We decided, you know what, there's more that we can do. And in that time, it was 2016. Eventually, I saw that Trump was running. I was 11 when SB 1070 happened here in Arizona, when the Show My Papers law came. And even though I was really young, I could see the present and feel that there was a fear with my parents of leaving at any moment. I saw my friends move very often. During that time, also here in Arizona, a lot of people were losing their houses. I was one of them that lost my house. So there was a lot of things I saw at a young age that like motivate me to take action. And also I grew up with no like tios and tias here in Arizona. So the community was a family and a space for me. Our schools are very underfunded here in Arizona. We're 49th in funding. We're being criminalized in our streets. And now Trump was going to be president in 2017. I was a senior then, and we decided, you know what, we need to launch a campaign to protect undocumented students, DACA students, and all students, because Black and Brown students are being criminalized in our schools. And it was going to be even more difficult with the climate that we had here in Arizona and a president that is putting stereotypes on us. For me, this fight was very important as a young person and also a student, and for bringing other youths, like finally, like, you know what, there's space we can take here at Puente, and there's space that we need to stay in the streets. And that's why I still stay here at Puente organizing other youth, and also the reason why I still continue fighting, because the fight's not over.
My name is Jaden Huerta. I use they, them pronouns. From a very young age, I was like always connected to social issues. I always was very interested in learning more about them and seeing how it affected me and it affected my community as well. My uncle, he was deported and he was like my father figure. So it really affected me growing up. And it affected my cousins as well. So I've always been very passionate about the issues that Puente has been working on. And from a young age, I've always seen how police has affected my community. I grew up with a lot of friends who had family in jail or who were previously incarcerated as well. And seeing all the impact that it has like on their lives is really devastating. So I think that's one of the main issues why I really am interested in learning about like this fight.
Puente is really rooted on educating and empowering our communities. We do a lot of Know Your Rights here, and we have a curso de defensa, which is a plan of defense in case you face with ICE or police. We knew that we needed something for students, so we came up with Know Your Rights for students in our schools. We partner up with other organizations to help us to make sure that the rights we were informing other students that it was going to be protected. And we're part of also the National Police Free Schools campaign. There was a lot of education that we had to do with the community. People feel that it's more of a want and not a need. And so it was a very hard process getting the district, getting them to understand these are things that we need, not want in our campus, such as more mental health resources. And these are very broad topics. And we had to be very specific with the district, because when we advocated for restorative justice for them, it was getting a random white lady or getting SROs to be part of group circles when that's not really restorative justice, and that didn't meant what we were trying to do in our schools. They decided to bring undercover police officers who weren't going to be dressed as police officers and not carry a badge, but they were still going to carry a gun and be in regular clothes. And so we got different organizations to come together and stop that of happening. And we were able to win and not get that passed. They finally came up with a plan that's called Safety Gent, that it was supposed to be a plan to reduce 12 SROs down to zero. Eventually, they did start reducing 3 SROs every year. In 2019, something good happened about it. They opened it for social workers, counselors, and a parole officer. So schools cannot, like, schools finally now had a choice to choose what position they got. That meant also rewriting the handbook of the school that hasn't been looked at for years. And so also in 2019, we got a couple students to go into district meetings and plan up during the summer on writing this handbook on things such as dress codes, the ones who get the most policing. Also, like, what's the process when a student is part of the discipline process, and how can we ensure that the student is getting the help and not getting punishment? And a lot of teachers did not like that. And that was another education and relationship we had to do with teachers, is what are the help you need as well too as teachers, so you can support students as well too, because we don't want you calling the police. We want to try to work this with y'all. And eventually, as time passed, in 2020, we saw a lot of the Black Lives Matter marches, and a group of Black students at Phoenix Union decided to do a march and really push the district that this was the time and this was the year. Y'all had to make a commitment that you weren't going to police more students and be part of the school to prison pipeline by having police and having a relationship with Phoenix Police. And there was a big call out for them during the summer of 2020, and we got the district to not renew a contract with them. We know as an organization and as students that mandatory reporting doesn't have to be done by law enforcement. It's more easier and convenient for districts, according to them, but we know that the district can really come up with ideas with the community and come up in another way for mandatory reporting. And that was our biggest argument with them when they decided to not make a fully commitment that they weren't going to bring them back. And for a year, they saved $1.3 million for ending this contract and ending this agreement with them. And we still don't know where that money really went. I'm a pause. There's a lot of moving pieces. Students were in school for a whole year. They came back in person, and the district felt like they didn't know what they're doing. They had no clues, and they were scared of students. So they're like, we're going to bring back police, but they were going to get off-duty officers and also use off-duty officers for all big events and games. So that was a big no-no for our campaign, and also us as students. Like, that was more money being wasted down the drain. We didn't understand is why do they continue to come back to this plan, because they haven't put the time and process to make a plan on how we were going to be a school that didn't have police. They said, we're going to make a commitment to come up with a safety plan that the community is going to agree on. The safety committee was supposed to come up with real solutions and real plans, but in this committee, as led by the district, we knew that it was going to be a room control, not by us, and there was going to be agenda not run by us, and that's exactly what happened. There were certain teachers, certain people that were put in this committee to push their agenda of getting SROs back in our schools. And in this committee, all they talked about, what was the contract going to look like with Phoenix Police? Once the committee ended, they voted for a police to be back in every school. And they knew that it wasn't going to be realistic because the district doesn't have money for 20 officers. And they still voted. The safety committee were going to propose it to the board members. They said it was going to be not biased, but it was very biased. They decided to do a private study session for board members with no public comment. We're hearing and looking at what the board members are doing. And last night was the last study session the board had. And in that last study session, I was very disappointed because they came back talking about how they need faster golf carts for security guards to get to students. They need mobile metal detectors. They need clear backpacks. And we understand the students and teachers and parents feeling afraid of what's happening everywhere. But we know that bringing back more police, bringing back more of a prison culture in our schools is not going to solve the issue of like, why are we having students getting easy access to guns? Why are students still fighting? These are not going to bring real solutions or make the culture of our schools even better by making us feel like prisoners.
I think that's what we've heard from a lot of places. Like in 2020 with the racial justice uprising, there was this moment where people seem to be willing to say, okay, we got to do things differently. But then now we're like seeing this backsliding where the money that was supposed to be reallocated isn't reallocated. And then people are falling back on the same kind of like ways of that they've done things in the past and bringing back police. And so I think what you all are experiencing in Arizona, I think it's something that's happening around the country. I want to know if you all can like talk a little bit about what that feels like in this moment.
It's still really disheartening having to do all these conversations again, because it's like, you know, like we thought it, you know. Yeah. It's just really disheartening.
Yeah, it's really frustrating. For the first time, we're seeing Black school board members in our district. Nikita Ross was the first Black school board member to be part of Phoenix Union. And she also was the first one to say that she doesn't want police back on our campuses. But recently, she hasn't really been giving her opinion on where she stands. And it's sad to see that because we finally felt like we had a champion in our school board. I think school boards don't know where to stand when there's a lot of pressure from teachers and students and who they're protecting over more. I don't think they don't care. We thought we were working well with the school board members, but now we feel like a target because teachers have been calling us like, the Puente group is here at the school board. It's our political agenda in the school now. We used to work with teachers, letting us go into their classes and present about Know Your Rights. We also do a lot of resources here at Puente with undocumented folks, and the schools only reach out to us when it's convenient, but when we're trying to talk about real solutions and real things, they don't want to have those talks with us. They don't want to have the hard discussions. And it has been like feeling like we're being used and when we're needed, but we can't use them when we're in need.
So it sounds like teachers have been a real obstacle, or the teachers union has been a real obstacle. It sounds like also some of the members of the school board have been a real obstacle. But also sounds like one of the strategies you all employed is like how to elect new school board members, right? Is there a strategy around like the teachers? Like I'm curious like what you all are thinking about, because they have been such an obstacle.
I think teachers and us, we want the same thing. We want the best for students. I think, yes, they feel the pressure of, there has been comments as to what limited is my job is saving these students. I had heard those comments from teachers and also security guards. This is not a job for me. This is a police job. And so I do really hear everything they're saying. A teacher doesn't want to be stopping in the middle of a physical fight. And so those are the things that we are listening and we're hearing them say. And also what we're trying to say is, yes, we don't want to fund police in our schools. So how can we reallocate to support and give salaries to the folks who need it? Because they're also low paying jobs, the ones who are doing the hard work of dealing with students' mental health and dealing with students when they're having a hard day. And so that's, we're trying to buy them in and into our plan of where, how can we use our school money in better ways to support the positions that need to be in our schools. And we're also creating new jobs and opportunities for the schools. If we're talking about a police officer that gets paid 3 times, 4 times more than a teacher, like those are 4 more teachers we can bring back into our schools.
I know you mentioned you have an action coming up tomorrow. Can you describe what that action is that you all are doing tomorrow?
Yeah, so tomorrow we're going to be going to the school board meeting. We are going to go and show up and basically advocate for no police in schools.
Yeah, so there have been 2 school board members who proposed their own plan, their own safety plan. And then there's also the safety committee who proposed their plan. So the district has been looking at these 3 plans throughout their 3-day study sesh on what's reasonable, what's affordable, and also what's legal. So they've been basing it around those 3 things. And all 3 plan proposals, they're including an IGA, a contract with Phoenix Police. And what our demands and our stance is, like, there's no perfect contract. There's no perfect police there, because in this contract, they're asking for accountability. They're asking for, basically, they want bilingual police. They want a police that is going to fit in more. And we know that there's no police that's going to fit in our communities and with our students. And so we're going in telling them, like, no IGA is going to protect students, because we have seen it in our own communities where police has got away with so many things. And the IGA is an agreement. How can the district be very ensured that there is going to be accountability? How are they going to ensure that students are going to be safe? The last big incident that we had in one of the schools was Isaac Middle School. There was a fight with 2 students, and the police officer decided to pepper spray all the students without warning. The district came back, didn't send a letter to parents informing that that even happened. There was no response to what happened until we came in, because there was a teacher that called us for help. And we put media public onto them. We sent letters to the school board members on what they were doing. And the police officer left on his own will. He didn't left because the district fired him. He left because there was pressure from the communities, knowing that we were watching him and that was not okay. And he knew that it was wrong because there is a protocol that you have to give a warning when you pepper spray. And he didn't do that because there was videos as well. And so it's, we have seen the reality of that. No contract, no, as much as they also want to give so much to these police officers, but why are we not training our own staff and our own communities on how we can protect our schools?
Can you explain, like, what your vision is for restorative justice? What does that look like in schools?
Restorative justice for us looks like all community parties who are hurt by some type of conflict in our schools being part of a real solution of, like, how are we going to make a plan for us to come back and feel safe and have a plan on where we can be in community together. Because most of the time it's communication where we're not practiced to talk about how we're feeling or talking about what's causing the harm and how can we come together in a group and have leave with agreements and also, like, solutions to come back. We're in a school full of so many different cultures. So how can we make it more easy and accessible to talk about it when we are coming from different cultural backgrounds and different languages in our schools, because we live in a very diverse, at least in Phoenix Union, it's a very diverse campus where sometimes, like, language is a barrier itself. And the way we deal with conflict or deal with problems may be different for each one of us.
I think that's a great note to end on. So I just want to thank you both so much for your time and taking, you know, like time to like explain the really, really incredible work that you've been doing. So it was really good talking with you. And yeah, thank you guys so much.